Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communication. Our guest today is Mike Kennedy. Mike, of course, is the voice of the Shockers on radio, on streaming, on your TV set, your computer, wherever the Shockers are present. So, Wichita State's in the midst of a rush of developments that we're going to check in on with Mike. Volleyball team is on a 7-match win streak. We have 6 new American Athletic Conference members. And basketball season is upon us. The men play an exhibition on Monday, the women on Thursday, both against Missouri Southern. So, Mike, let's start with volleyball. The Shockers are 13-6. They're 7-3 in the American, tied for second. They're number 54 in the RPI, which is interesting and worth keeping an eye on. What stands out at you? What's jumped out at you at this team? Why the improvement?
You know, the thing that's really interesting about this team is, you know, I go back to the start of the year and Chris Lamb saying that this group reminded him a lot of the 14-15 group, which had eventually, you know, some all-time Shocker greats and by their senior year went undefeated in their first year in the American Conference. And he was saying it was that kind of young talent and maybe even a little more volleyball IQ at this point than that earlier group. But then the year starts and you've had injuries and quarantine issues, and this team has never played a match and won't, as it turns out, play a match all year with the entire team available. Lauren McMahon had just made the all-tournament team, made the conference honor roll after the tournament at KU, and then injured her foot in practice the next week and is out for the year. Riley Kelly missed 3 matches. I mean, there's been a lot of that, and they're left with just 2 middles after McMahon went down, both freshmen. And so you had the feeling this was going to be a year where we'll see some progress and some development, and you can see the potential that's there, but wins and losses may not, you know, really be an issue this year. And all of a sudden, they've hit this winning streak. And I think the big thing about that is that they have just found ways to win a lot of close matches, even at times when the stats don't indicate that they should have. And I think that's unusual, kind of exceptional for a team that's still very young.
And they talk a lot about the chemistry, the cohesiveness, and a lot of teams talk about those things. Sometimes it's a real thing, sometimes it's not. Do you think their ability to win some of these close matches indicates there is really some good relationships and good team spirit on this group?
I think there is. And I mean, you can see it even on the court, just watching, see the way they react to each other. And I think also this group has been really good about really paying attention, listening to the coaching staff. At the start of the year with the inexperience, they weren't able to make many adjustments. A couple of those early losses, at least a couple, were a case where they got off to a good start, maybe won the first set, and then because of the personnel they had and the level of experience, they really couldn't make much in the way of adjustments. They were going to play that way for the match, and other teams would kind of pick up on what they were doing. They'd make adjustments, and they'd come back and win. And more, this team's gotten to where they're understanding how to make adjustments. They're able to do some things on the fly during matches and then also work on things week to week in between matches to get better.
You mentioned the middles, which always is such an important part of Shocker volleyball, kind of the unique way they run them and the great middles they've had. And so without Lauren McMahon, Natalie Foster has played really well. She's among the conference leaders in attack percentage. Morgan Stout is also playing well, and just I think people really enjoy watching her. She's just very bouncy, very energetic. Why have those two formed such a good combination in the middle?
Well, Natalie, you know, actually was one of the freshmen that got a chance to play a little bit last spring, the moved over schedule from the previous fall, although she didn't really play a lot until toward the end of that schedule. A couple of these freshmen that played last spring didn't play a lot because you still had some seniors on that team, the Emma Wrights and so forth. And so, but she really started to show some promise, at least got a little bit of match experience in the spring, and I think has just built on that. And I think that she fits into, you mentioned, they've done some kind of unusual things with middles over the year. Abby Lehman and Ashley Andrade, and Coach Lamb mentioned on his radio show this week that they do some things where they keep their middles more busy, give them more attempts than some programs do. And she's really fed off of that. And then Morgan Stout is just a freak athlete. I mean, just a really athletic, talented young lady. but from a small school, small town, and had not played competitive volleyball for about 3 years because of a couple of injuries and losing a senior high school season in between because of COVID. So really raw and inexperienced coming into the year. But more and more you're seeing from her going from, you know, three or four times in a match where she'd show you something and you go, wow, that's, you can really see that potential, to doing those kinds of things more often. And when you talk about the interaction and so forth, she is a big part of that. She is a live wire, plays with a lot of emotion, really can get people fired up just making a play and her reaction to it. And so it's been pretty amazing. Two freshman middles, the only ones they have, and they're really a big part of what's happening.
Describe what you're seeing from Casey Litzau at center and how she's progressed.
Well, the thing that's interesting about her is she came in with a lot of volleyball background. Her mother was a Division I coach, is now a senior administrator at Milwaukee. But I did not realize until just recently, Coach Lamb mentioned that actually she did some setting and they saw that potential in her when they recruited her, but she'd also played other positions. And so she wasn't maybe as experienced as a pure setter as some of the people they've recruited in the past. And it took her a little longer to kind of get the hang of everything than they thought it might. But she has really kind of latched on to it now. I know she spends extra time coming into the offices and looking at video and talking to the coaches. And she has really gotten better and better to a point where she's playing, you know, at the highest level of setters in the conference.
Yeah, her mom played at Notre Dame. She had a sister who played at Minnesota. So big volleyball family up there in Greendale, Wisconsin. Greendale is where she went to high school. I don't know if that's her hometown, but that definitely in that area. And then we should have to mention Briley Kelly, who's also having a fabulous year. And I think she talks a lot about the connection between herself and Casey Litzau. How important is it to have that kind of a dominant offensive force over there on the left that Briley is working her way into?
Extremely. And I think especially in this conference, because one of the things, and there were some obviously throughout the years in the Missouri Valley Conference, but certainly in this conference, you see some incredibly talented attackers on that left side for the best teams in the conference. And she's playing herself into that level. And she was a young woman that I know when they recruited her, felt like, you know, was a little underseen, was a little raw, was going to take some development, but could be at a level that they don't always get here. And what's really significant to me is she had a really bad weekend on that trip to Houston against Tulane in Houston. I think her hitting percentage was 0.51. And she bounced back from that the next week and played great and has been strong and steady ever since. And so I think that says a lot for her.
Okay, we've got Shocker basketball starting on Monday, 6 p.m. against NCAA Division II Missouri Southern. Mike, Shocker basketball, what interests you most about getting the season started?
Well, I'm excited to see where it goes after last year. I thought that IB and the staff did a great job under kind of difficult circumstances. And in talking to him over the course of the year, I think that he handled it, you know, the way it needed to be handled for a first year, for most of the year, interim type of situation. And I don't think people are going to see a great deal of difference in him, but it is his opportunity now to do whatever he feels needs to be done with the program and how he addresses the players and so forth. And I'm excited. I mean, I think obviously it appears they've done a really good recruiting job. And I think this is going to be a fun, exciting team to watch. Very athletic, deep, versatile. Guys can play multiple positions. Certainly there's going to be some blending together at the beginning because you got six new people, but I think it's going to be a really fun year.
What's your view on how Tyson Etienne has raised his game during his time here?
I think it's just a tribute to the young man that he is and how dedicated he is to whatever he does. I had an opportunity to be part of his photo exhibition, and he's really good at that. And obviously anything that he takes on, he tries to do it to the absolute nth degree. And I think that's what he's done with his game. And I think going through the NBA summer process, I'm sure was good for him, just having them point out, okay, these are things you still need to work on more, and I think that will be beneficial. And I think in his, he's kind of quiet in some ways, but I think he's a very good leader in terms of the example he sets and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I've been very impressed with what he's done. And if anything, I think he's going to have more help this year.
Yeah, and I think he will, when he leaves Wichita State, he's going to occupy a really significant spot from the standpoint, you know, last year there was a lot going on, and he really stepped into that leadership void. He was kind of became the voice of the team, and he was the one that kept saying, you know, we've still got this talent here, and we're not adjusting our expectations at all. I think that will really reflect well on him, you know, as his career goes on, no doubt.
I think he's another one also, another aspect of it that I don't think anyone doesn't understand, that making the move to the American in all the sports really required raising the level of recruiting a little bit, and that's no slap at the Missouri Valley Conference, but top to bottom, I just think the American has more really good athletes and more talent, and so Wichita State had to rise to meet that, and I think he was one of the first guys that obviously has shown he's at that level, the Conference Player of the Year last year.
Definitely. Point guard, Altre Gilbert is gone. Tyson will be part of the solution there. How do you see that spot playing out?
The guy that really struck me when I first saw a couple of the practices this summer was Quay Grant. And I watched him and I said, wow, this guy can play. And I think he's made that impression with everyone that's seen him. Solid, you know, when he handles the ball, the heads up, seeing everything. He's strong. He can get in the lane and finish. And you know, he's experienced. Even though it's Division II, he's got plenty of college basketball experience. I think played at a very high level of competition in high school in Texas. And so I think he's going to be a big addition there. And then, you know, Craig Porter showed flashes last year, but I didn't realize, and probably most people didn't, that he really was fighting a lot of injury issues all year. He missed a huge amount of time at the beginning of the year with the COVID stuff. So I think, and then there's just that natural jump from first to second year with JUCO transfers. I think that he's going to be another one that might surprise people this year.
I would agree. I really liked what I've seen from Craig when I drop in and out of practice. I think he can really be a big part of this team. I'm going to ask about Ricky Council. He seems like he could really be a key guy. He had some really nice stretches last season for a freshman, kind of slipped a little bit at the end, wasn't much of a factor in the NCAA tournament game. What's next for Ricky, and how do you see him maybe becoming more prominent, really reaching some of that potential I think everybody thinks he has?
Well, certainly he's one of the most explosive athletes I think we've ever seen here. It's not exaggerating to say he can play with his elbows on the rim, and really showed flashes last year. I think the biggest thing, and I think this would be true with almost any freshman, is just learning when to go, when to do certain things, and when to pull back a little bit. I think there were times he maybe tried to make too much out of a play, maybe too much dribbling or taking it into too much traffic. But obviously the potential's there. I didn't think coming in that he was going to be a particularly good shooter, but I think that improved over the year and I think has continued to. But what I've seen so far, both in practice and on Shocker Madness night, is just having adjusted a little bit to making those decisions, good judgments, and my gosh, he's explosive. He made a couple of plays to the rim in Shocker Madness that just took your breath away. And then, of course, IB has commented that he's really improved defensively. Always, of course, had the athletic ability to be an elite defender, but he's getting a better understanding of how to be in position and those kinds of things.
You mentioned Quay Grant, the guard transfer from West Texas A&M. Hit us with another newcomer or two that you think will be significant.
I think in a quiet way, people may not take a lot of notice of him at first, but Joe Pleasant is, I think, a major addition to this team. And I liked Trey Wade a lot. I think he's a lot like Trey Wade, only better. He's a better shooter. But it's not like he can't dunk or that sort of thing, but he's not overly explosive. You're not going to see him the same way you see Ricky Council or Jalen Ricks, but kind of that almost an old man's game where he's always in position and knows how to use his body and knows how to get position and make plays and handles the ball pretty well away from the basket and can face up and shoot it, and just a really nice addition. He and Quay Grant, I think, really add a veteran element to this team that you don't always get with newcomers coming in.
That's exactly what I've heard about Joe and observed too. I think you're right. He's going to be solid. He can shoot. I think he'll give them some of that shooting ability at the four spot that, you know, maybe like Ben Smith gave him or Marcus McDuffie gave him, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I would also say, you know, obviously Morris Udeze made a huge jump last year, big improvement, and now depth is what they need at those spots. And I think they signed two really good ones, Kenny Poto and Isaac Abide. And you could see, like on Shocker Madness night, okay, I see that Kenny's going to be in the three-point shooting contest, and I'm watching him warm up, and it's not like, okay, he can make them. It's, he's got a really nice stroke. You watch him shoot, and it's one of those guys you expect to make it. And Isaac Abide, a big-time athlete, but neither one of them were here this summer, and I thought when the scrimmage started, you could see that, you know, they've got a little bit to pick up. They were a little behind with the system and so forth, and that may be there for a while, but I think that they are definitely an upgrade from who the Shockers had coming off the bench at those spots last year, and I think they're just going to get better and better.
Kenny Poto will be fun to watch. He can definitely put the ball in the basket, no question. Yeah, if there's anything we can agree on, Morris Udeze is not allowed to get hurt. He's not allowed to foul. I think that's everybody can agree on that. All right, let's wrap it up by talking about the new additions to the American Athletic Conference. I think we can stipulate that losing the schools that left, Houston, Cincinnati, and UCF, that's disappointing. Can't really sugarcoat that at all. But we're soldiering on in the American, adding Alabama-Birmingham, Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, North Texas, Rice, and Texas San Antonio. Did you ever see North Texas play when they were a Missouri Valley Conference member?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. In fact, I remember my senior year at Wichita State and starting to do games on KMUW, and I was doing the game where Terry Benton had 29 rebounds against then North Texas State.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think they remember like into the early 70s, maybe
right,
59
from
to
57, 58 through the early 70s.
Early 70s. Potential upside, those seem to be the key words. What's your thoughts on the new additions?
Well, there isn't anybody that's going to just jump out like a Cincinnati or a Houston among the schools that are leaving in men's basketball, but certainly there are some there with the potential to help the overall depth and quality of this conference. North Texas seems to be on the rise. That's one of those. UAB certainly has had its moments. Texas San Antonio just seems to be coming up in everything and seems to be one of those still kind of young Division I programs that could really benefit from being in a conference like this. So, yeah, I think that certainly there is some depth. I think in some of the sports, baseball, volleyball, you know, softball, some of those I'm associated with, from a revenue standpoint or expense standpoint, geographically, I think this helps Wichita State. You got four schools now in Texas, plus Tulsa, Wichita State. There can be, you know, some bus travel and some things that can just economically make sense, not only for Wichita State, but some of those new schools in the conference.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.